Stephen, though, we're glad to have you here. I'm looking forward to hearing the word from you, so come and speak about what is forbidden. In the Richard Cameron sermon, he first spoke about the disquiet within that Psalm 46:10 speaks of, and then he spoke of what is forbidden to us, given this admonition.
Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it teaches to us. We thank you that Jesus Christ is that word incarnate. And we pray that as we consider your word again, that your Holy Spirit will bless us richly by teaching us of these truths. Lord, may he lead us closer to Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. This psalm teaches us much about the turbulent times that are right about us today. Using metaphorical language, the psalmist describes the mountains being cast into the seas. This imagery is of the nations and the kingdoms and the political powers of this earth. The wars, the persecutions, the troubles. These things are real and they are scary. We live in dark times. Sometimes it seems like these troubles and tribulations are pressing in on us, whatever form they may look like. Yet, we've seen from the message before that when our soul is in a state of being disquieted and agitated, when our soul is troubled by all that is going on around us, we can't just blame these troubles that are out there. The source of our agitation is always from within. A variety of inner problems lead to this agitated disposition. In other words, it's how we respond to the troubles that matters. I'm sure you all know people who respond in different ways to troubles. Maybe you know people who get very quiet. They hold their problems close to their heart, and it consumes them from inside. Maybe you can tell from their face that something is not quite right. Others blow up in anger, and you know when they're facing turbulent times because they get angry. Yet this too eats away at their soul. Others hold their heart on their sleeve, and they'll be upset. They'll cry. They'll be an emotional wreck. And still others complain, and they are made bitter by the troubles. But all these things are responses to the turbulent times outside. Psalm 46, verse 10 states, "Be still and know that I am God." This is the only command in this psalm. It's what the psalmist and what God wants us to do. But this command is based upon the wonderful truths that we heard read from the whole rest of the psalm. In this statement, we will see now that we are forbidden to do several things. In this time, we consider what we must not do. Later on, we will consider what we must do. But for now, let's look at what is forbidden. As we progress, we will see that believers are not meant to sin in this way. Those of you who today know Jesus Christ, these are things that you must not do. But if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, these are things that you probably do very often. You must consider this command to be still and know that He is God. But yet you cannot take any of the consolation and the comfort that comes from the rest of the psalm. You cannot take any consolation from the promises and the truths that the psalmist teaches to us. You can only be encouraged when you know Jesus Christ to be your refuge and your strength. That's in verse 1. Be encouraged if you're in Christ that He is your refuge and strength, the place where you find security in the troublous times, but also the place where you find eternal security. What is meant by this phrase, be still. Firstly, it forbids a disquietude in our hearts. We could call this several different things. And the Bible for sure calls it several different things. Disquietude of the heart is an inner despondency. It's a cast down soul. It's an anxious heart that makes us really upset and sad. It's depression. It's gloom. It's melancholy. Of course, this doesn't mean that we're to go around with some sort of cheesy smile on our face, some sort of fake smile the whole time, no matter what happens to us, no matter if a family member dies, we're meant to be smiling. That's not what the psalmist is saying. But it does mean that we're not to be gloomy people. We must not be overly pessimistic. Depression must not take over our souls. It must not cripple us. A crippling response is the wrong response. Why is this something that is forbidden? We are told to be still. But this is based upon knowing that He is God. The troublous times cause us to be depressed and despondent because we do not know God as we ought to. The Lord God tells us to know that He is God, to know that He will be exalted over the nations, above the kingdoms of this world, above all political powers, even above the government of the United States of America. Jesus Christ sits enthroned over the nations. He is in sovereign control over all the powers of this world, politically, nationally, locally. And therefore, those of us that are united to Him in faith, we must rejoice. It's a realistic joy that we must have. Not that cheesiness, that fake smile, but it's joy that's purchased for us by Christ, by His sacrifice on the cross, and won for us by His victory over death, over Satan, and over sin. It's important that we rejoice in the right thing. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the right thing. Rejoice in the Lord. The emphasis must be on Christ. And therefore, this command to be still and know God, you must not be found outside of Christ. If you are outside of Christ, you are bound for this life of disquietude, for this life of despondency, for depression, and for gloom. This is what you get if you are outside of Christ. But in Christ, we are redeemed, and we're no longer enslaved to this depression. We can experience somewhat of the joy of heaven here on earth. Even though the nations are raging, even though the mountains are being cast into the sea, we still can rejoice in the Lord. If you are suffering from a disquieted, downcast heart, it must be repented of, understanding that He is God, that He is exalted over the nations. He is our secure refuge. Have you ever seen the ocean roar? One of the hardest things for me living in western Pennsylvania is that I'm so far away from the ocean. I used to live within 20 minutes of the ocean. Have you ever seen the ocean roar? Have you ever seen a storm at sea? Picture it. It's in the backdrop of these roaring waters, the political powers that are foaming and roaring and swelling, that verse 4 of our psalm comes to us. It's a helpful picture. The streams that come off a river, calm, gentle, and relaxing. These are streams that make us glad. They bring joy to us. Amid this backdrop of the scary, turbulent waters and troubles that come from the kingdoms of this world, God's streams, His mercy and His grace, come and make us glad. And notice very carefully that His streams come only into His holy city. Mm-hmm. His streams only come into His church. His streams only come to His people. only to those people who have found their refuge in Jesus Christ. Only His people can be saved from their despondent hearts. Therefore, if you are in Christ, don't sin against Him by being despondent. Instead, sit near these streams of mercy. The second thing that this command to be still forbids is all sorts of quarreling and murmuring against God. This is perhaps the most dangerous thing to ever do. If you're going to quarrel against God, you'd better be able to run really quickly. It's foolish to complain at what God is doing. For complaining against Him in these troubles and against these troubles are only going to make your troubles worse. Let's go back and think about the history of Israel. They complained about everything. Have you noticed that? They were terrible mourners and complainers. They complained that they were enslaved to Egypt. But when God spectacularly delivered them from Egypt, what did they do? They complained that they weren't back in Egypt, enjoying the lifestyle that they had there. They complained that God hadn't given them food. And then when God gave them food, what did they complain about? They complained that they were having the same thing over and over and over again. They grumbled when they thought that they were near death. And they grumbled because they wished that they were dead already. And they grumbled when people actually died. No matter what happened, they were to grumble. And who can forget their complaining about not having water? On several occasions, either there was no water, or the water just wasn't good enough for them. So they complained. One time Moses had to strike the rock for water. The next time he had to talk to the rock, but he struck it anyway. But in these times, God was mercifully providing for His people. He gave them water. And as we've already seen from verse 4, God has caused these living waters of grace in Jesus Christ to flow into His church. All those who are taking refuge in Christ. Why then should any Christian murmur against God? If this is what you are currently doing, then repent. If you think that God in any way has been unfair to you, repent of this sin. His grace is sufficient. If you think that the outcome of this political election can mean the end of the Church of Jesus Christ, repent. If you think that having either Obama or Romney as president will frustrate the plans of Jesus Christ, repent. Grumbling against God comes because we do not know His gracious and sovereign character well enough. The third thing we see that is forbidden here is all fretting because of evildoers. In another psalm, we have these words that speak very particularly about this. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. There is a difference between planning for the future and fretting. I think we can all recognize that. But fretting profits nothing for us. This psalm tells us it tends only for evil. Planning is productive. It's commended to us by God. Fretting is forbidden. Why do we worry? It's because we see the people and the problems and the troublous times as big, and we see God as small. But God here in Psalm 46 tells us He's not small. He is big. He will be exalted over the nations of this earth. By a word, by one single word, He melts all those who are in uproar. One word from God will stop all of them in their tracks, and they'll fall down dead before the Lord. He breaks their weapons. He burns their chariots. Believe me when I say that the Lord God can destroy all sorts of sophisticated weapons that China or the USA or any other superpower can have. The Lord God is above all of these. Nothing is too powerful for Him. He causes wars to cease when He wants them to. Why then do you fear the future? Fear God. Don't fear what is to come. God's grace is sufficient. His streams that come into the refuge of Christ make us glad. He is with us. Did you notice that verse in the psalm? Or do you just speed over it? Don't forget this. The Lord God is with us. And Jesus Christ says, I will be with you forever. Why fear? You can't change anything by fretting. Anxiety will not help anything. It tends only to evil. Be still and know that I am God. Yet these dangers are real, aren't they? There are real evildoers out there who hate the Church of Jesus Christ. They want to harm us. They want us to conform to their patterns. And by their forcing, they almost make us. They want to win liberties that do not come from God's word. They want to get liberties that don't come from the cross of Jesus Christ. The leaders of this world in many places have their liberal agendas. And isn't it ironic that they call this liberal policies? Isn't it ironic because our confession of faith teaches us that they're only having the pretense of liberty? It's not coming from the cross of Jesus Christ, none of these liberal policies. Rather, it requires sin, and they make attempts to destroy true liberty. They're only pretending to give you liberty. Instead, they bring enslavement to sin. Beware of this. Beware of these political powers. It's real danger, real threats. But yet all the while, God is sitting in heaven. Jesus Christ is on His throne. And how does He view all of these liberal agendas? He laughs. Jesus Christ sits in heaven and He laughs. He is seated above all the nations of this world. They are like ants in His eyes. And so He laughs. For He is exalted over the nations. He is King. And we who recognize Him as King over His church and over all the nations of this world worry and fret and are anxious. We doubt. Fretting tends only to evil. Quit it and repent of it. As we've seen before, we are people of little faith. Men of old suffered greatly at the hands of evildoers. Women were drowned for Christ, and children were killed at the hands of evil men for their faith. And we worry about tomorrow. We are a faithless generation. Let's repent. Let's cry out to God for mercy, because our sin is great. All of us are at fault in these regards. Repent of the despondent heart. Repent of grumbling against God, thinking that you know better than He. Repent of anxious thoughts, for doubting that God is in control. Repent of your faithlessness. Be still and know that He is God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth.